Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachim Daf Lamed Vav. We begin on the at the Mishnah on Lamed Hayomi Beis, three lines off the bottom. Says the Mishnah, Shchatoi. So the fellow shechted the korban on condition Almanas laniach hazdamei oremur of lemachar. He's going to leave the blood of the korban, or the emurim, the innards, the fats, meant for the mizbeach. He's going to leave them overnight until they become pasul, and he's actually not going to process them. He's not going to serve them on the mizbeach. Now, if his plan would be to put them on the mizbeach tomorrow, right? He would verbalize that intention, then in fact that's your classic pigle. Here he didn't say that. I'm going to leave him overnight and allow the blood and the korban to become pus. So what happens now? Or the fast, lamachar, to leave it over. Let it stay overnight. Or he plans on taking them outside the Beis HaMikdash. He's not going to be makriv it outside, he's going to take it outside and let it become pus. What happens now? Rabbi Yehuda, according to his shita, it's pus. And the Gemara will explain, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, scheming is like actualizing. Just like if you would leave the blood overnight, the korban is pasul. Thinking about it, planning it, also makes the korban pasul. Although not pigul, because pigul is a very specific process where he's thinking to serve the mizbeach tomorrow or eat the basar tomorrow. But in this case, he's just going to be negligent. He's going to neglect the korban. That's what he plans on doing. So there's no pigul here. However, read the Paisel, the Chachamim, they say it's okay, Machshirin. Korban is still kosher. Now, in the following scenarios, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that having these in mind would not invalidate the korban. So again, he does the Shechita al-Manas with the intention, Litanon al-Gabe ha-Kevesh, to apply the blood on the ramp of the Mizbeach instead of the actual Mizbeach. Or all kinds of other deviations, wrong locations, on the wall of the Mizbeach, but not on top of the base of the Mizbeach. Inappropriate place. Or Valitinus and Atanim Lamalam, or blood which is meant to go on the upper part of the Mizbeach. He's going to do it downstairs, Lamata. Well, the opposite. That's an Atanim Lamata, blood which is meant on the lower portion of the Mizbeach, Lamalam. He's going to place it on the upper part. Or he's going to put on the wrong mizbeach, as an atonim bifnim, blood which is meant for the internal mizbeach and the heichal, he's going to put it b'chutz outside, on the mizbeach of the azara, or vice versa. As an atonim b'chutz, blood which is meant for the external mizbeach bifnim, he's going to place it inside. Or sheichlu tmeim, he intends on having the carbon fed to people who are tamei. Sheikrivu tmeim, he plans that Kayhanim who are tamei will process the korban. Sheichlu areilim, individuals who had not yet experienced a bris milah will eat the korban, or they will be makriv the korban. Sheyakrivu areilim, or it's a korban pesach, and he says, I'm going to have the bones broken, which of course is a transgression. You can't break your bones on the korban pesach. It's meant to be eaten in a dignified manner, in a noble manner, right? The shabra tamei sa pesach. Or he plans on having the Pesach served, you know, improperly roasted, you know, partially raw. Lechol heimenu no. Or he intends on taking the blood of the korban and mixing it with invalid, deficient, pasul blood. So what if he has any one of these intentions in mind? Does it invalidate the korban right now? Kosher. Korban is perfectly fine. Why? Because this is the rule. Shein machshava peiselis. Intentions, thoughts, will not invalidate a korban unless it fits the bill. Ela b'chusla zmanay, b'chusla m'kayma. One of these two. Either the intention relates to serving the mizbeach or serving the meat to the eaters beyond the proper time. B'chusla m'kayma, during hakrava. Or eating the korban in the wrong place. And one more. That Pesach v'chatas, regarding these two karbanos, shlo lishma. If he has the wrong karban in mind, they will become pasul as well. So we have shlo lishma, chuz zman, chuz mekayim. But anything else would not invalidate the Karma. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have two instances where we make exception. His plan is to leave the Yadam and the Imurim overnight, or take them outside. That in itself is sufficient reason to invalidate the carbon right now. The question is why? My time to Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Belazar, it's based on the following sources. Trei Kroi Ksivi Benoiser. Noiser is where you have actual carbon material which stayed, you know, overnight, stayed past its allowable time. And we have two psukim regarding the same issue, which seems to be a repetition. Kosov Echad Omer. One pasuk by the carbon Pesach says, be careful, like soisiru mimenu ad boker. Don't allow the meat to stay overnight till, you know, past morning. Because of Echad Omer, we have another carbon by a carbon toida, which is a Thanksgiving sacrifice. Lo yaneach mimenu ad boker. Again, don't allow it to stay overnight till the next morning. Why this repetition? It's an unnecessary pasuk. So the answer is, the second pasuk, if it's unnecessary to teach us the basic law that material left overnight becomes nicer. It's unnecessary for that. Apply it to our case where he plans on having the material stay overnight. That too invalidates the carbon. Asks the Gemara, but you're assuming the second pasuk is extra. It's repetitious. But it's not so. Contra Yehuda, the second pasuk is very much needed for something else, to provide the time frame for consuming various karbanis. V'chi Rabbi Yehuda haikra l'achi Yehuda asa. Is that true that the second pasuk is coming for this purpose? Point Rabbi Yehuda. Hami b'alik d'sanya. It's needed for something else. To provide the expiration date for many karbanis, as per the following brisa. So this is the second pasuk that we quoted. Upsar zevach toidas shlomav. And the pasuk continues. B'yoyim karbana yo'echel. The flesh of this carbon, this toida, should be eaten on day of hakrava, and the following night as well. But don't leave it past the next morning. Lo yineach mimenu ad boker. So from the, you know, simple wording of the pasuk, we have learned the time frame of the carbon toida consumption, right? A day and a night. Lo madnu le toida. We learn that the carbon toida will be eaten shnecheles liyam v'layla, only within the first day and night. What about chalifin? Exchange, a backup, carbon toida. He lost his carbon. He designated, you know, a substitute, and he found the first one. So you have an extra one. So now that he checks this one, what time frame does it have for its consumption? Does it also have to follow the same time frame or not? Well, this. What about the offsprings of a carbon toida? Tmurois. He did a tmura, an exchange. Minayin, how do we know that those offsets, you know, variations of toida also have this day-night time frame? Tamad Leimar. The pasuk says, Ubisar Zavach. The word Ubisar covers these other variations as well. What about a Chatas? V'asha Menayin. What about their time frame? Tamad Leimar Zavach. It says Ubisar Zavach. The Zavach covers the other carbonas as well. They must be eaten within the first day and night. What about Menayin the Rabbis? How do we know to include Shalmi Nazar, Shalmi Pesach, the Shalmi that a Nazar brings, or the carbon shlamim that we bring on the Erev Pesach together with the carbon Pesach. Tamalem shlamav, that's another word in the Pasuk. A day two are included in this time frame. What about lachmei toida, v'chaleis, urukikim shebenazer, all kinds of breads and crackers that are brought with the toida or the nazar brings minayin? What about their time frame? Tamalem ar karbanai, next word in the Pasuk. Kulon, regarding all these items and karbanis, I apply to them the same time frame of yoyim v'layla. I apply to them, don't leave it overnight. So clearly this pasuk is very much required to teach us all those halachas. It's not an extra pasuk. Imkain says the Gemara, no. But if it's only for this purpose, to tell you the time frame, the pasuk should use the same language as the first pasuk. Don't let it stay overnight. Why change the lashon until yaniach? Apparently, there's something else embedded in this pasuk to teach us this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. Don't even think. Don't even plan of having it stay overnight. It's not needed. This change of language is not needed to tell you the basic halacha of the, you know, expiry date. Tineu Inyan, apply it for the concept of the Machshava Sinuach. But even scheming to do so makes the Korban possible. Hotanech Laniach, okay, that's a good source. For the Allah where he, for the case where he planned on leaving it overnight. Okay, we have a pasuk. What about Lohitzi? If you recall, we discussed two variations of deficient intents. He plans on leaving it overnight, plans on taking it outside. So in terms of the first, we have a source. What about the second, Lohitzi? Michael Lemmer, who's the source for that? If he plans on taking it outside, that makes the carbon pasuk void. And furthermore, Taima, the truth is, we find it in a brisa, that in fact Rabbi Yehuda was not based on a source of a pasuk. It was simple logic in his view. The Sanya is related in a brisa. Omlan Rabbi Yehuda turns to the Chachamim. Just like if you would actually do it, it would make it puzzle. Planning on doing it, fashioning the carbon with that in mind, is also an invalidating factor. Would you agree with me that if he actually does this, the carbon becomes possible? And in fact, if he leaves the blood overnight, of course the carbon becomes possible. There's no blood. It's left past today, it's possible. Likewise, he plans on doing so, it's possible now. Says the Gemara, you're right, Ella, rather, Tamad Rabbi Yehuda Svaru. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda is based on logic rather than a pasuk. So again, just like if you do it, if you leave the blood overnight, the carbon is pasuk. Likewise, when you do the shechita with that in mind, you have fashioned an improper carbon. It's pasuk. Asks the Gemara, okay, so why does Rabbi Yehuda stop and limit his halacha to just these two cases? Tomorrow and outside, what about all the other cases in the Mishnah? Plans on applying the blood in the wrong place on the Mizbeach, it's going to be processed by Kohanim Deratame, etc., etc. Well, in those cases too, thinking about something like that shouldn't validate the carbon. Why are they different? Ask the Gemara, V'nifloig Nami, Rabbi Yehuda Bekulu, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda disagree regarding all those cases as well? Well, says the Gemara, okay, let's go down the list, step by step, item by item. V'nifloig, which one would you suggest that he takes issue with? Meaning, which one should he make possible? B'shever atzmeis ha-pesach? V'lechel mimenu no? What about the case where he plans on breaking the bones of the Pesach, serving it raw? Well, that wouldn't be reason to make it possible. Zivcha gufi mimifsel? Even if you would do that in actuality, break the bones, right? The carbon doesn't become possible. It's a violation. It's a transgression. It doesn't invalidate the carbon. Right? If he plans on leaving the blood till the next morning, it's no carbon, it's possible. So of course, thinking about it has the same effect. But here, he shouldn't be breaking bones. But if he does so, the carbon doesn't become possible. So likewise, planning on doing so wouldn't make the carbon possible either. So that answers that. What about the case of Almanas Sheikhlu Utmei? Sheikhruvu Utmei. Plans on having people that are tummy eat the basar, or Kohanim that are tummy makr of the carbon. There as well. Same answer. Zivcha gufim mifsel. Even if it should happen that way, does the carbon become puzzle? Right? If tmeim eat the basar, it doesn't make the carbon puzzle. If tmeim take the fats and put on the mizbeach, after the zrika, carbon is kosher. No matter what happens afterwards. So thinking about that in advance wouldn't invalidate the carbon. What about sheichlu areilam? Plans on serving it to people without a bris. V'shiyakrivu areilam, or having areilam process the carbon. Again, same answer. Zivchu gufim mimifsel, even if it should happen that way, the carbon wouldn't be possible. Right? People, areilam eat the basar, or people that areilam take the fats and put on the mizbeach, wouldn't validate the carbon retroactively. So, likewise, even if initially this is what he was planning on doing, it's not considered inherent deficiency within the carbon. Another answer regarding these last couple of items. The reason why his scheming wouldn't invalidate the carbon, kol kamine, is it then within his ability to make this happen? No kain in his right mind whose tummy will carry out this guy's plans, or an oral would eat the carbon. So it's basically a worthless proposition. What about the case where he plans on mixing the bloods? The kosher blood with non-kosher blood. Lo'orev damam damam psulim, plans on mixing the kosher blood of this carbon with invalid blood sitting there. So technically that would invalidate this carbon, because you don't have proper blood anymore. So likewise, if he thinks I'm doing so, it should invalidate the carbon now. So the answer is, Rabbi Yudel Tamer Rida follows his respective opinion. The Amar who tells us elsewhere, Ein dam avatal dam. Blood and blood don't collide, don't cancel each other out. They're both the same material. So even if you have a little bit of the kasher mixed in with a lot of pasul, it wouldn't become batal. The proper blood maintains its footing, and you can put it on the mizbeach. What about the case where he plans on putting the blood in the wrong place on the mizbeach, right? Upstairs, downstairs, inside, outside. So thinking about those, why shouldn't it make the carbon pasul? Litein esanetana lamalo, lamato, lamato, lamalo. So what about those? The answer is like this. Once again, Rabbi Yudel Tamer Rida follows his opinion. The Amar Huseh, who told us earlier, Shaloi lemkaima inamikim mekaima karina bay. Even if it's slightly wrong in terms of location, but if it reaches the mizbeach, shaloi lemkaima is like lemkaima. So technically, the carbon could be kosher, even if you put it on top instead of on bottom, or vice versa. What about the next case? V'liflag, why wouldn't he disagree and consider the carbon pasul when he plans on putting it in the wrong mizbeach? V'netana befnim, shenetana b'chutz. V'netana b'chutz, shenetana befnim. So we're going to focus on the second case. Blood which is meant to be in the external mizbeach, in the hazara, he planned on bringing inside the heichel. Rashi explains, that in itself is reason for psul. That invalidates the blood because there's a halacha, there's a pasuk. That specifically by a carbon chatas, if the blood has no business being in the heichal and he brings it in there, the blood becomes pasul. So that's a potential psul. Thinking about it in advance should make the carbon pasul. Says the Gemara like this. Ultimately, the essence of the psul here is because he plans on doing something in the wrong place. And the halacha is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that could only make the carbon pasul if that new place, that wrong place, is a mokem mishulish. We had this a while back. It's a triple place, which means to say it's a place that can accommodate three things: blood, fats, and meat. And Rashi explained, during certain times in our history, when there was no Beis HaMikdash, there was no Mishkan, it was called Sha'as Heter HaBamas. A Bama is an altar that you make, a private altar outside. You can bring karbanas there too. And the meat could be eaten there, the blood could be applied, the fats can be burnt. So basically, anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash is called a Mokem Mishulash. And thinking, plotting, scheming on bringing, your carbon out there, that's called Chutzim Kaimah. In contrast to bringing it inside, in the Heichal. Heichal is not a triple place. It's not a place that accommodates three things. It's not a place to eat the basar. It's not a place to burn fats. So that's the answer to the question. Why, if he plans on taking the blood inside, is there no psul? Because he plans on taking the wrong place? Wrong place can only invalidate if that sort of new place that he's thinking of, that destination is a triple destination, a place that accommodates three, which a Heichal doesn't. Kasava, Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds. But in order for the new place to invalidate, it needs to be a mokem shehim meshulash, v'dam, v'basar, v'emur, in a place that could accommodate all three components, but the heichal can't. Umi isle Rabbi Yehuda Hashvara, is that true that according to Rabbi Yehuda, this triple formula applies? V'atani v'abraise, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. This is on a pasuk in Dvarim, warning against bringing a carbon that's a blemished carbon. Ashiyeh b'imum kol davara. What's the term davara including? Davara ribakan. It's coming to include chatas sheshchata b'darim. Carbon chatas that he slaughtered on the south and the darim of the Azara instead of in the tzafim. That's one. Number two, v'chatas shenichnas dam lefnim. He did the shechita on the carbon chatas with the intention of taking the blood into the heichal, where it doesn't belong. In both these cases, psula, the carbon is pasul. So clearly, even though he's thinking of the Heichal as the intended destination, it would make the carbon possible, despite it not being a triple place. Well, says the one on the other hand, I'll show you that certainly Rabbi Yehuda does hold of this idea. But lastly, Rabbi Yehuda Hasvara, really, Rabbi Yehuda does not agree with this triple concept. So the Kohen took the blood of the Chatas, unintentionally, not realizing that he was making a mistake, took it into the Heichal, kosher, it's okay. But apparently be made it possible. If you would bring it in intentionally, the carbon is possible. The Kaimelan, we have an understanding on that Mishnah. And there's one condition as well here. B'shechiper. It's only possible he actually atoned with it. He applied it to the internal Mizbeah. But just bringing it in wouldn't make the carbon possible. Okay, that's a discussion later on. Now, Hashta, now, let's analyze this halach. Uma hasam aili aila. In that case, where he actually physically brought the blood into the heichel. Is it automatically possible? No. Only ikiper, if he did kapar with that blood in, yeah, it would invalidate the carbon, but otherwise not. Iloi kiper loi. So certainly, if he's only planning on bringing it in, of course it wouldn't invalidate the carbon. Hacha de chasha cheshuvi. In our case, we're just thinking of doing so. He's just planning on bringing it in. Loi kol shken, of course it doesn't become possible. So clearly, when the heichal is your destination, it doesn't make the carbon possible, because it needs to be a triple place, which the heichal isn't. Says the way you write, Trei Tanoi, Valib Darabida, apparently there are two versions to Tanoim, in terms of what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was. Whether he does hold of this Shlishi concept or not. So, back to the question that we had regarding the Mishnah. If he plans on taking the blood inside, why isn't it possible? The answer is because, at least according to our Mishnah, Heichal is not a destination that would invalidate. It's not a Makom Mishulash. Okay. Now another point, another side point. We quoted Rabbi Yehuda about a fellow who took a chatas and did the shechita bedarim. He gets malchus. V'savar Rabbi Yehuda, is that so? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, chatas sheshchata bedarim yechayev. If he does shechita on the chatas on the wrong side of the azara in darim instead of tzafin, he gets malchus. By the time you have a brayso, so that is not so. Rabbi Yehuda yochel chatas. Is that so? Really, that a chatas sheshchata bedarim yechayev, that in fact he's chayev malchus for doing the chatas in the wrong place? Tell me, no, not so far. Pasuk says, don't bring a carbon with a mum. That's what you get malchus for. Aldavara tamachayva, only something which is visibly deficient, apparent blemish. In that case, he gets malchus if he proceeds. He doesn't get malchus just because he did the chatas on the wrong side of the azara. There's no malchus. And here we say there is malchus. Seems to be a contradiction. Yes, yeah, there are two versions in terms of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Trei Tanoi. I'll leave the Rabbi Yehuda according to one version. There's malchus for Achatas Bedarim. According to the other version, there is no malchus. Okay, so in a nutshell, we have Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush today. He does shechita, amanas, to be maniach the dam, to let the dam of the carbon stay overnight, which, in fact, if carried out, would make the carbon possible. Likewise, thinking about it, planning it, instantly invalidates the carbon. The Gemara came out that it's a svar. Now comes another twist to this halacha. We all know that in order to make pigul, one must follow a very specific, precise formula. It has to be purely pigul, without any other interfering, deficient thoughts, right? He thinks, I'm going to feed serve the mizbeach tomorrow. I'm going to feed the meat tomorrow. So if he only has that type of thought, it's pigul. But he mixes in other thoughts. Aside from that, I'm also going to, serve the meat outside the Beis HaMikdash. Or he mixes in Shloi Lishma. We learned several times in Mishnayos, etc., that would be an interfering element which would actually preempt the pigul from taking effect. Now comes an interesting question. Rabbi Yehuda. He holds that a machshava of laniach dami lemachar, although it's not pigul, because he's not expressing that he's going to put it on the mizbeach tomorrow, he's just going to leave it over, neglect it. So there's no pigul, but it makes it possible. What if he comes around and says, you know what, actually, come to think of it, after thinking that he's going to leave it over, he adds, he says, I'm going to also serve it on the mizbeach tomorrow. Do we say, no, too late? Because thought number one was merely deficient. It wasn't a pigul thought, it was a deficient thought. It was an improper thought, but it wasn't a pigul. It wasn't strictly pigul, it wasn't purely pigul. So now, it's too late to add pigul. You already had other interfering factors. Or shall we say no? He's sort of developing his plan. First he says, I'm going to leave it overnight. Then he's adding, okay, I'm going to serve on the Mizbeach tomorrow. It's sort of, another layer, another component. It's his plan that's merely being developed. It's not a new plan. It's not a new thought. So perhaps it would become pigul if he would actually develop it to the point that he's planning on putting it on his mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Abba, the second way is correct. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree. So again, even Rabbi Yehuda says that a machshava lahaniach dami lemachar makes for a pasul carbon, but don't think it stops there. Shechozer v'kavi lepigul. If he turns around and says, you know what, actually I want to add something. I'm also going to serve it on the mizbeach tomorrow. It becomes pigul. Amar Rav Teta says, Rav, I'll even prove this. I'll even back this up. Because really every pigul has this issue. If you recall, we discussed that pigul only actually gets activated when he gets to the zrika, which is phase four, the shechita, this kabbalah, halacha, zrika. Suppose you had a machshava of pigul at the shechita, or at the kabbalah. That thought of pigul doesn't yet get implemented or activated until it's sort of pending until he finishes the four stage process. So think about it. Until he finishes the process, what happens to that pigul thought? It's pending. It's really just a deficient thought. So you think, hold it, a deficient thought would now get in the way of pigul. Right? It's like he's just planning on leaving the blood over till tomorrow. Right? Nevertheless, we say, no, when you get to the Zrika, that initial Machshavas Pigul now gets applied, activated, implemented, and it's called Pigul. Right? Likewise in our case. Amar Rav Teda, I'll prove to you this point, that this point is correct. The Pigul, because every standard Pigul, Lefnei Zrika, before he actually does the Zrika, the thought that he had during the Shechita, the Kabbalah, to process the blood tomorrow, loy klumu. It's really not yet an actual consequential or impactful thought. It's not really pigul yet. It's like a deficient thought on the way. Loy klumu, it's an undeveloped pigul thought. So rather than saying that, well, you have a deficient thought, boom, it preempts the pigul from happening. No, you don't say that. You let it develop. Rather, you wait until the zrika happens, and that sort of develops and finalizes the pigul. Likewise in our case. If you had a machshava of hinuach, and then added to it, I want to actually serve the blood tomorrow, it's merely a developed thought, and not, conflicting thoughts. V'lohi, well, says the Gemara, you can't compare. How do you compare the two things? Hasam hu chad machshavei. Your standard pigul entails one single thought process, which must be developed and implemented. Fine, but it's still the same thought. Initially, he was planning on doing this, and he hadn't changed that. Hachat tvei machshavos, here it's two separate thoughts. Initially, it was just hinuach, and now it's, I'm going to be zerik tomorrow. It's a whole different thought. The initial thought is not a pigul thought, and interferes, that preempts the pigul from happening. Eisvi rav hunel rav abba. So in fact, Rav Huna had a question on Rav Abba's concept that you can make pigul this way. Litanis and Atan Lamala Lamata. Rav Abba planned on putting the upper blood downstairs, Lamata Lamala, downstairs, upstairs, La Alter Kasha. Plans on doing it right now. The carbon is kasher. Chazer Rechishev. So now once the carbon is kasher, If he comes around in the next, avoda, in that very same carbon, and he's thinking, "Amachshav of pigel, chosas manai, or chosam kaimai," it's a valid. I shouldn't say valid; it's a deficient thought, but it makes the carbon possible because up until this point, the carbon was still okay. So now, if he adds "Amachshav of pigel," carbon becomes pigel, right? Chozer b'chishav, he comes back and he adds chosam kaimai. So it's possible without karas, rainbow karas. If he thinks chusas manai, that's your pigle with karas, a chavon karas. Okay, that's phase one of the brice. Lemochar. What if he does a shechita, thinking that he's going to put the blood in the wrong place on the mizbeach tomorrow? Now, the wrong place on the mizbeach is not a proper zrika. At most, you can say it's like hinuach, it's like Rabbi Yehuda's hinuach. It's as though he thought he's planning on leaving the blood overnight, till tomorrow. So that makes the carbon possible. Going like Rabbi Yehuda, Machshav of Hinuach makes the carbon possible. Continues the Braisa. So this is what he had in mind during the Shechit. V'chazer v'chishev. Now during the next stage, during the Kabbalah, let's say, he added another thought. A thought of Pigel. So according to Rav Abba, it would become Pigel. Because it's like a developed thought, developed process. No, says the Braisa. V'chazer v'chishev. He comes back and he adds, Ben Yichus l'zmanoi, which is, should be Pigel. In both cases, it's only possible without karas. Why? That's yuf to the Rabbi Abba. Yuf, that's a refutation of Rabbi Abba's concept. Because since he had a machshava of hinuach, which makes the carbon possible, you can't come back and say, "Well, by the way, I want to also be zerug that blood tomorrow." Too late. The initial thought was a non-pigel thought. Now it's too late to add pigel into the equation. Comes another halacha. Chishev sheichlu tmeim lemachar. So he does the shechita, thinking that he's going to feed the meat of the basar of the carbon to people who are tame, who shouldn't be eating it tomorrow. Question: is that pigle or not? It's going to be eaten tomorrow, so it sounds like pigle. But eaten by whom? People who are unauthorized to eat it. They shouldn't be touching it. They're tummy. Is it pigle? Yes. Chayef. If one eats it, he's chayef. Cursed, it's really pigle. Right? We don't say, well, you shouldn't be eating it anyway. It doesn't matter. If the carbon was processed with the intent to feed the meat tomorrow, it's pigle. So Rabba once again comes around with a raya. I want to back this up. Teda. I'll prove that it is so. Because really, every pigle runs you into this issue. He does a shechita. The machshava that he's going to feed the basar. Which basar? This basar. By the way, this basar is not yet edible. It's before zrika. Okay, this basar I'm going to feed tomorrow. That makes it pigle. The basar of zrika leichasi. Really, this meat at this point in history, this moment in time, before zrika is not really edible. It's not meant to be eaten. Nevertheless, thinking about it, planning about it, makes you pigle. So you see, that's not really relevant. The fact that there's a problem eating it doesn't interfere with the pigle process from taking effect. Vilahi, incorrect, says the Gemara. You can't compare the two stories. Hasam zarek and mechsi. In your standard pigle scenario, it's going to be processed very soon, as soon as the Zrika happens, in 2 minutes' time, the basa will be ready to be eaten. Right? So when he had a mind, I'm going to feed this basa tomorrow, i.e., after Zrika basa, processed basa. Hachalim mechseklaz, opposed to our story. Tameim have no business touching the meat. It's not right for them. So who says planning that meal would make it pigle? Third halach, Amar Chizda, Margul bepumid rabdimi barchinana. Rav Dimi had this halacha that he was fond of saying. Basar Pesach Shlehutzla. Carbon Pesach Mid, which is meant to be roasted, which was not roasted yet. Valach Mitoida Shlehurm, or breads from a Toida carbon, which whose truma was not yet separated. Typically you would take 1 out of 10, give it to the Kohen. That hasn't happened. So the carbon was processed, it was Rika, etc., but was still in need of doing something to make it fully edible. What if a person whose tummy eats these? Is he liable to the karas consequence, which typically befalls a person whose tummy eats karbanis? Yeah, chayev and alim shum tumah. See, this halacha that basar, which is not nitar letoher, which isn't suitable for people who are tohar. For instance, before zrika of a carbon, the basar is not really roif to anybody. So at that early stage, that premature stage, if a tummy eats it, there's no karis. Not so in these cases, where it's post zrika. Technically, the carbon has been fully processed and is edible. But there's a side, you know, impediment here. The truma wasn't addressed yet, the roasting wasn't done. So that's not premature in terms of the hakrava process. Hakrava is fully complete. In which case, Rashi says that's called nita l'tahir. In terms of the development stage of the carbon, it's fully developed. And if so, if a tummy eats it, he's karis. Gets karis. Rava teda. Once again, third time today, Rava says, I'll bring you a proof to this concept, this sign, Rava Bryce. Asher l'ashem. So Pasuk says, a person whose tummy eats karbonis, asher teich al boster, mipsar zevach hashlamim, asher l'ashem. What's that extra phrase coming to tell us? Asher l'ashem, l'rabis emuri kachem kalam l'tumah. If he eats the emurim, the fats, which are meant for the mizbeach, of a kachem kalam, of a karbon, if he eats it when his tummy, he gets karis. Now, fats are not edible, not meant for personal consumption. It's meant for the mizbeach. Alma, what do we see from here? Af agav, the lav nechelin, even though these materials are not meant to be eaten, they're meant for the mizbeach. Still, if he eats them on his tummy, chayav malem. Chayav malem is tumah, he's chayav on his tummy. Hachanam here as well. By the unroasted carbon pesach, etc. Af agav, the lav nechelin, even though in their current state they're not really meant for consumption yet. But they're considered fully developed, fully processed carbones, and therefore chayav nalem shem tuma. If a tummy eats them, he's fully chay. V'lo, he said, the Gemara is incorrect. You can't compare the two things. Ha'asam emur kachem kalam chasal gavaya. The fats of the carbon, although he shouldn't be eating it, but it's meant for the mizbeach. So it's fully consumable right now. And therefore, if he eats them when he's tummy, he's chay. V'lafuki, as opposed to our story, where we have the basar pesach shloi hutzla. V'lach meitet the shloi hurmu, v'loi chazu. These items are not meant for anybody at this stage. Not for the mizbeach, not for you ordinary person. So it's not really considered edible at this point, and therefore, if he eats it when he's tummy, he's not chayv. Okay, we'll leave the Mishnah for tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Let's just do a quick chazara. Your typical pigle entails thinking to serve the mizbeach tomorrow, to eat the flesh tomorrow. What if he plans on just leaving the material over tomorrow, to tomorrow not serving it, just neglecting it? Letting it become puzzle. Says Rabbi, there's a svara. Just like if it's actualized, if it's carried out, it makes the carbon puzzle. Thinking about it makes the carbon puzzle as well. But this doesn't apply in all those scenarios discussed in the mission there, because in all those cases, it's not really relevant, doesn't make the carbon puzzle, etc., etc. We had three halachas, which Rava sought to back up with a raya. The first one was Rabbi Abba, that Rabbi Yehuda's machsheves hinuach can develop into pigol. The Gemara refutes that. Next halacha was planning on serving the meat to Tmeim tomorrow. That is pigul as well. Rava had a raya, but the Gemara negated that raya. And finally, Rav Chizda's halacha here, that a person who's tummy, who engages in basar pesach shalei hutzla and lachmitei shalei hurmu, there's chiyuv of karis. Rava sought to back it up with a raya, which was opposed. Okay, Hadmelech Kalab Sulin, all the best to you, and Hatzlacha.